Turn in your Bibles to the 20th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. I shall begin reading with verse 1 and read through verse 16. Have you ever known a lazy person? Maybe a young person that wouldn't pick up their clothes. Maybe a woman that wouldn't keep her house clean. Maybe a man that wouldn't work and support his family. Have you ever known a lazy person? Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, whence went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they have supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. God raises the question in verse 15, Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. In the early morning the good man went out and found people standing idle in the marketplace. He went out again at the sixth hour, the third hour, the ninth hour, and the 11th hour. And each time likewise found people standing idle. Lazy. So as we begin the year 1985, I want to speak to you on the sin of laziness or slothfulness. And slothfulness and laziness are two Sams that grip God's people. And we leave undone many things we ought to do. And we in our own hearts know that it is true. The word slothful is akin to the word lazy or idle or neglectful or sluggish or inactive or just being laggard. All these people that he found at the early morning, the third, the sixth, the ninth, and the 11th hour were being slothful, laggard, neglectful. And God wants his people to be a busy people. Even when Jesus was 12 years of age, when they went back to the temple where they had left him, he was in the midst of the doctors and the lawyers, not only hearing them, but also raising questions. And his mother spoke to him, and he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And I wish I had the wisdom this morning as a pastor to lay upon the heart of every member of this congregation the responsibility that is yours to tend to the Father's business. In 1985, even above and beyond your own. Because if you take care of his, he'll take care of yours. I'm not going to hurry, so turn to the 19th chapter of the book of Proverbs, and I want us to look at some scriptures that deal with laziness, slothfulness, and idleness. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15. Slothfulness, or laziness and idleness, being sluggish or laggard, casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Now you're going to think I'm hard-hearted right here. But one of the reasons for the starvation in Ethiopia this morning is because they have been lazy and indolent and have not provided and prepared the land in order to grow the crops. And just as sure as I stand preaching the Word of God, God Almighty is against laziness anywhere in this world. Proverbs 21:25, let's listen. "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." There's something wrong with a man that's too lazy to work. I know some men that know how to get little babies in the world, and then are too sorry to support them. Somebody ought to say amen. It's the truth. The slothful says this verse of Scripture refuses to work. Look at Proverbs 26 and 21, or rather 26 and 16. "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." Now listen to this. Here are seven responsible men that can give a good reason for something. But the idle man, the slothful man, the lazy person is wiser in his own conceit than seven good men that can give a reason. Let's look a little further into the Word of God. In 1 Timothy 5 and 13, Paul says, "And with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. In the 12th chapter of Romans, verse 11, Paul says, for us not to be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. Now get this, serving the Lord. Now I could stop right here, and we could go home, and if you would remember this and apply it, we would have had a great service. So I quote it again. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Oh, may God hit you this morning to see your need, Christian friend, of serving the Lord. What is slothfulness? What is the sphere of slothfulness? And what is the cure for it? Number one, slothfulness is refusing to work. I read that to you from the book of Proverbs. The slothful refuses to labor. It's not only that, but it turns people into a busybody's life. Now finish this saying my old mother used to say, because your old mother used to say it too. An idle mind is what? Yeah. You were brought up right. Slothfulness is not only refusing to work, but it leads to a busy body's life, and it also leads to the sin of being disorderly. In 2 Thessalonians, we have some very strong scripture in the third chapter of that little book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Listen carefully to the reading of God's Word. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he what? Neither should he eat. I've said it in this pulpit before, but I'll say it again this first Sunday in the new year, that a lot of our governmental giveaway programs ought to read this verse of Scripture and go by people that refuse to work. Paul says they should not eat. Now notice, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, being slothful, being idle, being lazy, being a sluggard, working not at all, but are busybodies. I've already told you it led to a busybody's life. Now them that are such, we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. If every Baptist that belongs to Tabernacle Baptist Church would get up off of the recess that he's in, the place he is seated, in the sphere and the realm of slothfulness, and get up and dedicate his life to the Lord, I'll guarantee you that this church could be the talk of this town if every member of this church would just simply do what God would have him or her to do. Now, I believe that. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. Get up from the seat of laziness. Get up from the seat of idleness. Get up from the seat of unconcernedness. Get up from the seat of do nothing. And say, if everybody else lays down their working tools, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord and my church, and I'll guarantee you when 1985 comes to a close, if this church would do that, we'd see things that God would give us you cannot imagine. The cattle on a thousand hills are His. He's got the whole world in his hand. And he blesses a working people. He blesses a people with a vision. He despises unconcernedness and laziness. God does not want his people to be an idle people. What is the sphere of slothfulness? Well, let's just start at the very core of the matter. Your prayer life. Your prayer life. Do you have a place where you go and pray secretly every day? Before great and laudable undertakings or either minor changes, do you converse with your heavenly parent? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says to pray without ceasing. And you neglect your prayer life and you will become idle and slothful because you can't talk to one as kind, as compassionate as your heavenly Father without wanting to do something for him. Oh, how we need to revive in our spirits this morning the power there is to be found in prayer. Yesterday, as I spoke to old Brother Dass, great big old man, weighs about 350 pounds, overalls, I said, "Brother Dass, can I do anything for you?" And that old man looked at me, he said, "I just want you to pray. I just want you to pray." There's not only slothfulness in the prayer lives of many, but there is slothfulness when it comes to attending the house of God. Now listen, church. When somebody makes an open profession of faith and follows the Lord in baptism, that's a commitment to Christ. That's a commitment to that church. When someone moves their letter, that's a commitment to that church. And if some people treated their jobs like they treated the church, you wouldn't get fired tomorrow. You'd have been fired last week, amen? You'd have been fired last week. Slothful in church attendance. And I reiterate, and I don't care if I make everybody in this church building mad, I'll run before I take it back. I believe unless providentially hindered, if your membership is in this church, I repeat, unless providentially hindered, every time the doors are open, you ought to be found inside. Proverbs 20, or rather Psalm 26 and 8, "Lord, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth." Then another area of slothfulness is about this old book. This old book. It's good for gathering babies' pictures and a little clip of hair from the baby. It's good for sticking little poems in there. But it's best for reading and study. You say, "What's the difference between reading and study?" Well, I'll tell you. Reading the Bible is like when you get down a road map, like you did, Ms. Lee, when you were driving to Little Rock by yourself the other day. You get down a road map. That's like reading the Bible. But studying the Bible is like when you take the trip. You see what I'm saying? You can look at that road map and you can visualize this place and that place, but when you take the trip, you really see it. And when you really get your heart in the book and start taking the trip, it'll alleviate some of that slothfulness. Some big grown man says, "I can't understand the Bible." How many of you ever heard that? Let's see your hand. They tell this preacher one or two things. Number one, they may be lost. Did you hear me? They may be lost. Because a saved man can understand the Bible. Now, he won't master all of it. But then again, he may just be a carnal Christian, just a babe in Christ. And instead of telling the preacher that he's lost, when he says he cannot understand the word, he may be telling the preacher that he's just too slothful, too lazy to apply himself instead. Because I know anybody that's saved that'll study the book will grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You knew I was going to get to it. A lot of people are slothful in the giving of their tithes and offerings. Let's listen to the world a minute. Why do you go to that church anyway? All they want is your what? Say it. All they want is your money. Never do go there unless they run a collection plate under your nose. I've pastored this church since April the 25th, 1973. And there's never been a begging plea from this pulpit. That's right, deacons, you say amen. Never been a begging plea. But I've been faithful to preach tithing. I believe $1 out of every 10 God gives you belongs to Him. And I believe God can stretch your $9 a lot further than you can stretch your $10. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. He's your preferred creditor. And I'll tell you something else. If you don't pay your tithe, God's going to get it one way or the other. If you're a Christian, you're really saved. You've been taught the truth of tithing. And you don't do it, God will collect it one way or other. You'll send some little old lady in a car that doesn't know how to drive, run into the side of your automobile, won't have a dime for the insurance. He'll do something. But you're going to pay your tithe. I'd rather give mine to the Lord and the church and to have God take it, hadn't you? Slothful in giving. Now, before going on, some of you have looked at your feet. Count your toes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How many? 10. And 10 represents the tithe. Before going on, let me say this. Now, you listen. You listen. If every member of this church and every other Baptist church would faithfully pay his or her tithe, you'd never have to take a collection in the house of God. Slothfulness in tithe. Another sphere of slothfulness is in our love one for the other. I get amazed at how so many people think only of themselves. I never shall forget one time at a national meeting. A missionary by the name of Bagley had not been back in the States for 10 years, and he'd made sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice to preach the Word of God. And when he got back to the States, he bought him a brand new automobile. He'd had it 6 weeks. Brother Pierce, you might have been there. And as he stood before that congregation and preached, God's power was present. And people began to testify, and a 72-year-old minister got up and said, I have hitchhiked a ride from the state of Oklahoma in order to come and meet with my brethren. Said, I no longer have means of transportation or a church. And Brother Bagley got up and called that old gray-headed man to the stand and said, here are the keys to my car. It's not mine anymore. It's yours. There is that which scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that which withholdeth more than is meet, and it tendeth to poverty. The reason some Christians stay broke all the time is because they're stealing from God. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, heaped together, pressed down, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Well, what can we do about our soulfulness? I'm not even going to preach what I have written down. It's not strong enough. First thing we can do is repent. If we've been slothful in any of these areas, we can repent. The Lord wrote to the church at Ephesus and said, "Remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick." Now, I do not rejoice in the fact one iota that one Baptist church in Jacksonville, Texas, folded in 1984. I don't rejoice in that. In fact, I shed a few tears over it. But I'm telling you this, that if we don't recognize the value of repenting, and we've sinned against our Lord, even this church or any other Baptist church is not above God in His sovereignty removing the candlestick. So if you've been slothful, repent. Another thing you can do is to receive. Receive what I'm preaching this morning. Don't sit out there with a smug look on your face and a pitchfork and say he's preaching it to somebody else. Apply it to yourself. Apply it to yourself. That old story about the man walking out of the church and always taking the pastor by the hand and saying, "Preacher, you sure hit him this morning. You sure hit him." Finally, one cold, wintry day, there wasn't anybody there but that man. And the preacher preached the sermon just like the congregation. All of them was there. And when he went out the door, he took the preacher by the hand and said, "If they had been here, you'd have sure hit them." I'm not talking to somebody else. I'm talking to you. C.M., Gwen, Isabel, Alvin, Elsie, Glenn, Becky, Bob. I'm talking to everybody in this church building. We need to repent. Another thing we can do about slothfulness, if we have repented, is to be doers. James 1:22 says, "A man that's a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word deceiveth his own self." We ought to be doers. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." How can you cure slothfulness? Repent of it. Receive the truth of the message that God's man preaches to you. And then be active and doers of the word. And like I say, if everybody else lays down their working tools, you do what you can. And God will bless you. And God will bless this church. Let's sing, Mark.
Number 174.
May we stand together, please.